on a faraway island of Salamisan, King Yurtle the turtle was king of the pond. It was a nice little pond. It was clean. It was neat. The water was warm. There was plenty to eat. And turtles had everything turtles might need, and they were all happy, quite happy indeed. They were, until Yurtle, the king of them all, decided the kingdom he ruled was too small. So Yurtle the turtle king lifted his hand, and Yurtle the turtle king gave a command. And he goes on to raise up his throne higher and higher to extend his petty little dictatorship over the lands beyond. That's the start of the story.
So, I thought we'd take a few minutes to talk about the developments out of Hamilton, Ontario, in the last couple of days. It's been kind of an interesting time to watch. Horwath made a decision to remove one of our billboards there. You want to talk a little bit about how that happened and what's behind it?
Yeah, pretty swift decision. So, if people know the billboard, just letkidsbe.ca, stop medical transition for minors. Very, very simple. Not really any images on there except for the Let Kids Be logo. And according to the mayor's social media post, which is all we have so far in terms of the decision and the mayor's reasons for it, just says, this afternoon, I was made aware of a transphobic ad and directed that it be taken down. That's it. So, and the post goes on to say, the rules, you know, the billboard is private, but it's on city land, which means the media company, Astro Media, would have an agreement with the city. Right. And she says the city's rules, she's referring to the city's advertising policy, in her view, it was not followed. And so she doesn't say what, she doesn't say this section or, you know, but she goes on to say hate incidents are on the rise. So apparently this counts as a hate incident of some sort. She categorizes it with those. And that's as much as we've got. So the same afternoon that she heard about it, she swiftly had it taken down.
Now, this ad had been up for 5 days, I think, at that point. It had gone up on the holiday Monday last week. And then, though that's all been fundraised by local ARPA chapters, Niagara, Hamilton, and I believe Oxford chapters all worked on that. So what authority does she have to just unilaterally do this? Like, is that something within her power, or is she acting outside of the norm here? Like, what's the parameters?
Yeah, it's a good question. And Joel and I have been looking into this week because it wasn't initially clear to me that she had any legal authority just as the mayor's office to call this company and say, take this ad down, mm-hmm. right? It's the contract would be between the media company and the city as a legal entity, which is governed by council. But the mayor does have, under the strong mayor legislation that was passed in 2022, a fair bit of power to kind of direct the daily affairs of the city. So maybe that she has, in one sense, authority to direct a contract, a company with the contract with the city, that in her view, this doesn't satisfy the conditions of the contract and the policy attached to it. But the point remains that she doesn't have legal authority if there's no basis in the policy, right? If there's no violation of the advertising policy, she doesn't have a good reason to take it down. And because, again, this is government, rules about procedural fairness apply, rules about, obviously, constitutional rules of freedom of expression apply. And so the mayor's going to be in a position where she has to show what legal basis there was for this decision and what legal justification there is for, in this case, limiting our freedom of expression on an important public policy issue.
Mm-hmm. And presumably her responsibility, the onus on her would be higher than it would be for a private company that just decided, you know, we're not going to keep this ad up. We're going to take it down of their own accord, right? There's a higher standard in some sense for a politician that is the mayor of a city to uphold freedom of speech in that context.
That's right. If this were just a private media company and a, you know, on privately owned land, and there was no government involvement whatsoever, and the company just said, we don't like this ad, we don't want to run it, maybe they think it's bad for the reputation, or they just disagree, your legal remedies would be very limited, and perhaps there'd be none. So if you were denied, if they said we don't you know, rent advertising space to a Christian organization, well, there's a discrimination case. But if it weren't that, if it was just based on we find the message offensive and we don't run these kinds of ads, you wouldn't have recourse. But again, because this is government interference, right? This is the mayor saying, because it's on city property, because you have a contract with us, we're directing you to take it down, right? And so it's possible to imagine, though, that any billboard, that even billboards on private land, where you have major companies like Bell Media, that have relationships with the city, for the mayor, maybe not publicly, but even to apply political pressure to say, don't run ads by this group or don't run these kinds of ads. And even that, even if it weren't on government property, this charter would still apply to protect us from potentially political pressure to make sure these ads don't run. But that would be less of a solid case than here, where the mayor is actually citing city policy and saying, my authority as mayor, my city policy, you can't run this ad. That makes for a very obvious constitutional case against the mayor.
And then publicly to tweet about it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
To tweet the decision out on a Friday afternoon. It resulted in a bit of a scramble for us over the weekend, but I think we were able to kind of respond well to it. The campaign, Let Kids Be, the talking point on the sign is stop medical transitions for minors. What about this are they saying is hateful? Why that word? Like, why is that part of this conversation?
Yeah, a lot of people are probably scratching their heads. It might sound a little flippant to say, you know, anything that kind of is not in line with progressive doctrine is just kind of labeled hatred. I suppose if you really wanted to, try to understand it from their perspective, if they're not just being cynical and it's not just a power play, they would say a transgender child needs this care. And so to try to publicly advocate that this care be taken away is hateful, because why would you take away healthcare from a vulnerable child? And of course, from our point of view, it's, first of all, the transgender child is kind of a modern construct. The idea that the child believes they're in the wrong body and they ought to have a different body is, the child didn't come up with that him or herself. The whole point of the billboard is to protect vulnerable children. Children struggling with gender dysphoria are vulnerable. They do deserve love and certainly parental protection, first of all, but societal protection failing that, from irreversible medical treatments or just damaging and experimental medical treatments with no proven benefits. And that's obviously what our campaign is about.
Well, it's interesting you say that too. I think based on some of the Twitter storm that happened and the social media storm after this developed, it became clear that this is a war of worldviews in some sense, right? It's a worldview of, I think, the biblical understanding of the physical body and the soul, or the who the individual is, that those things are both important, right? Like, the physical body isn't disposable, isn't something that's totally, you know, we might as well just, which is, I think, the modern understanding of gender ideology is, well, the body is subject to whatever your identity happens to be. And so if your identity doesn't match that, then we're going to use all these different, whether it's gender blocking or hormone blocking and things like that, or surgery, to make that align better with who you really are.
Right.
Right. And so it's a worldview conflict in some sense.
Yeah, I think that's right. If you think of the kind of liberal progressive idea of human autonomy and self-definition, right? There's no, to kind of be limited in our self-concept, self-definition by external, whether that's societal standards or even biological limits, God-given natural limits. There's kind of this chafing against that, right? And so the idea for us, of course, it's like your identity, both as an image bearer and a human being, but also as male or female, is a gift received from God. That's just not acceptable. And so even this resultant devaluing of the body, such that again, through modern medical techniques, the belief that we should be allowed to choose to reform our bodies to give better expression to our authentic inner selves. That's kind of the nature of what's going on here. And so it's from their point of view, I don't know, again, if hateful is more of a power play to justify censorship. But this refusal to kind of give any significance to our bodily existence, our natural division into male and female. There's this kind of rebellion against that. It's striking to me that you almost can't say anything about this topic, that even just this is just a very simple like statement of a position, doesn't inspire confidence in the other side's position when you can't deal with, you can't accept any public statement of disagreement. Mm-hmm. It just makes...
Well, I suppose that's been the thing that's worked really well about this campaign, is how simple it is, how we honed in on that one particular argument, right? Stop medical transitions for minors. And the amount of comments in response that were positive and supportive of that message, or, you know, when those news media organizations that are talking about it actually share the message, people are saying, okay, what's offensive about this message, right? And so I think that's been the unique benefit of this campaign. It's not aggressive. It's not in your face. It's a fairly simple message. And I think as a result, that's resonated with average Canadians.
And you can imagine similarly simple messages, right? I mean, here we have stop medical transitions for minors, which is more an explicitly normative statement, or even a public policy position that we're taking. Mm-hmm. But even something as simple as if you said sex is natural, sex is binary, something like that. Sex is biologically defined. Or the CHP, of course, had an advertisement that said woman, adult female, right? Basically a dictionary definition of woman on an ad with a picture of a woman, that is also deemed unacceptable. It's striking. And I kind of wonder if this in the public perception doesn't raise questions of, wait, how weak is the case for basically gender ideology and medical transitions when you cannot countenance very, very simple statements of people's positions and claims of fact. Sure, if you disagree with them, counter them, but that they cannot be even, the public can't be exposed to these simple truth claims seems to be a striking indication of the weakness of the other side of the debate.
How has the media been engaging with this so far? Has it been relatively balanced in your view, or how has that been? Have they just been kind of jumping on the bandwagon with what the mayor has said?
Yeah, I think it's been mixed, right? We've seen some commentary again when it comes to an editorial saying this is stomping on free speech. It was Joe Warmington, was it? I think he wrote a piece in the Sun. But in terms of just what is purportedly reporting, the Hamilton Spectator had quite a basically a hit piece on this. CH News, which is a Hamilton and region, they do both TV news and I believe they do internet articles and so on. They actually have had, seems like, somewhat decent coverage of it, but we've also seen a reporter apologizing for, I think you referred to someone who appeared in the video as transgender, which is not quite the, I think they preferred to be called a transgender person. So you see this kind of sensitivity around any communications. We've seen certain media coverage where they included an image of our ad, which is responsible reporting. If the controversy is about this billboard, you should show the billboard, you know, and let the readers decide whether the mayor's characterization of it is fair. But I mean, starting with the mayor herself, who of course isn't a reporter, she says it's hateful, it's transphobic. She doesn't actually say, not only does she not say what the ad said, she doesn't even say what it's about, right? There's no mention of, you know, a billboard opposing medical transition for minors. Just doesn't mention the topic.
And if all you did was hear what she said about it or read the Hamilton Spectator article, you'd think, wow, this is quite an aggressive, you know, whatever it was terrible.
Right.
So until you actually see it and realize, okay, this is maybe unfounded.
Right.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about the case history for this particular situation. So obviously we're talking now about potential legal action. What does that look like in the city of Hamilton in terms of previous cases that we've been involved in, previous cases that have been going on in the last couple of years when it comes to billboards and this particular topic?
Yeah, Hamilton has a bit of a history here. So back in 2018, Hamilton lost a case to the Christian Heritage Party. In that case, the Christian Heritage Party had an ad on the side of a bus shelter that featured a man walking into, it said, ladies' showers on the door. And then it said, competing human rights, where's the justice? And the CBC caught wind of that advertisement, which had actually, like, it had gone up, and I think asked the city about it. The city panicked and took it down. The city didn't contact the CHP about it. There was no kind of hearing. It was done very quickly. And so that's kind of an obvious parallel to this, where the mayor hears about it. And then in her own tweet, she says, today, this afternoon, I heard about this. And it was later that afternoon or in that evening that she had announced that it was taken down. So within a matter of hours, she had heard about it, decided on it, directed that it be taken down without contacting us. There's clearly no, again, even if a judge thought, well, sure, this, you can censor an ad like this, which would be a stretch, but just on the kind of procedural issues, just, did you get legal advice? Were you aware that the charter applies here and this has free speech implications? There's no indication of that. So she's just on her face, just set up a wretched case for the city. I mean, I think the CHP ad from the 2018 case of a man walking into a ladies' washroom on the side of a bus shelter is potentially more controversial than our ad, but regardless, just the procedure here is totally flawed. I think maybe the mayor's office was emboldened by the fact that in a case last year, again, this another CHP ad that said woman, adult, female, that they actually there was more of a discussion, a bit of a back and forth with the CHP. at least maybe not initially, but the city kind of followed up and gave them more reasons, more explanation for why they couldn't allow this ad. So now you've kind of got, okay, more detailed reasons. The city said, we thought about the charter. And so at least procedurally, they kind of got away with that. And they won at the lower court. But the CHP is appealing that. The lower court judgment is frankly pretty weak. It kind of ignores major Supreme Court of Canada and Ontario Court of Appeal. These are higher courts than this court precedents on freedom of speech. And so we'll see how that goes. But that's kind of a recent victory, again, on the gender issue that the city has had. They might be emboldened by that. But as, of course, our viewers might know, ARPA also has its own kind of history with the city of Hamilton. We won a case against them fairly recently when they rejected our Defend Girls bus ad, which the city ended up running that and paying for our legal costs in that case. But yeah, it seems like the mayor, again, this is the issue with, if she as a politician does have the authority to say what can or cannot go on a bus ad, she is a progressive politician with a base to please and social media followers that she obviously got some praise from, and also criticism, interestingly, in the comments. But she's not an objective arbiter of what is, actually violating the city's policy and whether that is, rightly balanced with freedom of expression in a free and democratic society. She's just not in a position to be objective there. And so this is just, to me, a very problematic legal case from the city's point of view.
What are the next steps from our perspective? Like, there's deadlines associated with this. I'm sure you know what the rough outline for that is.
Yeah. So normally, because this is a city government decision, when a government agency or actor makes a decision that affects your rights, normally, in case anyone out there needs to know this, 30 days is normally how much time you have to just give notice that you're bringing a lawsuit. It doesn't mean everything, all the work has to be done, but the notice sets out the basics of your case, what happened, what the legal basis is for challenging that decision. And so that gives us until September 8 to file that. Now it's possible that the city will follow up and say, okay, here's some additional reasons, or potentially even the city could reverse this decision if they realize it's actually setting themselves up for a really, really bad case. So we'll see if anything else transpires there. We may, again, encourage the city to reverse its decision and make litigation unnecessary, save Hamilton taxpayers money and so on. That would be great. There's other ways for the city to remedy this, but failing that, the courts is where we can seek justice on this and seek, again, to protect the freedom to engage in pretty basic and peaceful and respectful public policy advocacy.
One last thing I'll say is my sense from some of our supporters is that there's a bit of a deflating feeling out there that this is not, this is an example of how this fight is not going well. But the interesting fact from our perspective is that an ad like this actually gets a lot more attention when there's a public media storm around it like this, right? Ads are showing up in newspapers all across Hamilton and even beyond. The fact is we're recording this and it's been, 6 days since the original decision to take the ad down. News media is still calling us. You're still getting in requests for interviews even a couple of days from now. So these are things in which, sometimes the benefit of the negative reality of what's taken place actually means the message gets to go to more Canadians. Now, obviously, this is all connected to our rally, which is taking place in Toronto in September. So folks can take a look at that on the website, letkidsbe.ca. The other issue is, obviously, we released a note yesterday about the debanking situation. Is that connected with this situation at all, to your knowledge?
Yeah, so it's good for people to know that the debanking, we received a letter saying that our account with Canadian Western Bank would be closed before this billboard became a controversy, right? Before the billboard was even up on the link. So no, we don't. It's clearly it's not linked to this specific billboard. Whether it's linked to ARPA's work in general and campaigns seems, given that what we know has happened in terms of debanking for other organizations, that ARPA's political views likely have something to do with it. Our advocacy work likely has something to do with it, but we don't have proof of that. Again, circumstantially and given the context of other organizations, it seems likely that it does. But no, for this particular billboard, these two things are not linked, obviously, because the billboard came after the debanking announcement.
Yeah. Can you quote Yertle the Turtle?
Sure, which part?
Whatever part you have memorized.
Yeah, the mayor's decision and her post on X. We want to say tweet, but apparently that's not what we're supposed to say anymore. Made me think of the Dr. Seuss book, just because I think I had it read to me as a kid, and I've read it to my kids. The story, as if people know it, about a happy little pond where, on a faraway island of Salamisan, King Yertle the Turtle was king of the pond. It was a nice little pond. It was clean. It was neat. The water was warm. There was plenty to eat. And turtles had everything turtles might need. And they were all happy, quite happy indeed. They were, that is, until Yertle, the king of them all, decided the kingdom he ruled was too small. So Yertle the Turtle King lifted his hand, and Yertle the Turtle King gave a command. And in short, he raises his throne higher and higher to try to have more power. And just the line of, so he raised his hand and he gave a command, that kind of struck me as the mayor saw a sign she didn't like. She issued a command, and the billboard was down. And basically, if that's allowed legally, we've just set up cities as little dictatorships where mayors can decide what may or may not be said, abutting any highway or sidewalk or public street or anything on city land. Lots of city land gets used for advertising and political messaging. And if a single politician can decide what gets said in a city, that does look like a bit of a petty dictatorship, kind of like Dr. Seuss's King Yertle the Turtle. So there you go.
There you go. Okay.